Over the years, I've been in my share of waiting rooms. I've waited to learn about my health, and I've waited to learn about the health of family members. I've also been entrusted with the privilege to wait with others to learn about their health issues and the health issues of their families and loved ones. Some of the things that I've heard over the years are interesting. I'm not going to share them with you. But let's just say sometimes there's a great deal of family dynamics going on. As I've watched and waited and listened, I've learned a great deal about me and a great deal about others. I've seen the power of an embrace. I've heard the words of deep comfort expressed. I've seen people who are incredibly uncomfortable, unable to cope, and just fidgeting. And I've heard words of shallow, wishful thinking in the midst of situations that are critical. It'll all work out. It'll be okay. But what if it won't be okay? What if it all won't work out? You know, words and actions are very powerful. With them, we convey what we believe, what we think, and what we feel. And we can also use them to give heartfelt comfort or to make everyone in our presence uncomfortable. This morning we continue in our Advent series in the waiting room. Last week, Brandy and Jimmy helped us to see how the people were waiting and longing for God to come down and do something. And this morning we'll be taking a look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. So I invite you to turn there. And as you do, allow me to give you some context. The people of Israel were carried off into exile by Babylon in 587 BC. 70 years in exile. These people had their whole world shattered. It was like a hurricane or a tornado or a wildfire. But even more so, they lost nearly all they had, family members, homes, the temple, their nation, and any sense of well-being. The people were looked on by others with ridicule. They needed comfort or hope. Everything wasn't turning out to be okay. Everything wasn't getting better. It is against this backdrop that I'd like you to hear the words of Isaiah. And I'm going to split up my reading this morning just a few verses at a time. So let's begin with Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort is being spoken to Jerusalem in a very tender way. Her hard service has been completed. That's her exile. It's coming to an end. Her sin has been paid for, and she's received double from the hand of the Lord. This is not to suggest that the people were able to atone for their own sin. What is being expressed here is that they have endured enough in captivity. Enough! It's over. This is good news. These are not well wishes that are not grounded in reality. Barry Webb, in his commentary on Isaiah, states, "Comfort not grounded in reality is no comfort at all. These words of comfort are grounded in reality. These are words of comfort spoken with power. They're not empty words devoid of hope. They are filled with hope. And they're spoken in three different ways in this passage. The first word of comfort is in verses 3 through 5. Follow along with me. A voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The first word of comfort is that God is coming. Get ready. The way needs to be prepared. In the ancient Near East, it was customary to send a representative ahead of a dignitary or a monarch to prepare the way. It's like making a superhighway, making it wide and level, take those curves out. We do this same kind of thing with our sitting president. Whenever a president visits anywhere, an advance team is sent. In our case, the Secret Service. They map out the routes of travel, they study the maps of streets, they look at floor plans, and they see where are the vulnerabilities. The picture in this text is of preparing a processional highway. Why? Because the Lord is coming to Jerusalem. The crooked roads need to be made straight, the valleys need to be raised up, the mountains and hills need to be made low, and the rough places needed to be made smooth. The nations will see this take place. Israel would be redeemed from their exile in Babylon. This is nothing less than the work of God. God's glory would be seen as this happens. And ultimately, the glory of the redeeming work of God will be seen in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so how do we prepare the way? We prepare by repentance. You've heard the words of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What is repentance? Repentance literally means to turn around. To turn away and to turn towards. To turn away from our sin and to turn towards Jesus. And so if we are to prepare by repenting, what needs to be made straight in our lives? What truth needs to be raised up? What exaggerations or lies or mistruths need to be leveled? What relationships need reconciliation? What relationships need to be smoothed out? How do we need to prepare? And in the midst of our preparations, what words of comfort will we seek? I invite you to seek the comfort that only God can give. The second word of comfort is in verses 6 through 8. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" "All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. The second word of comfort is that God's word is good. There's an interesting contrast here. It begins by the use of a simile. You might say, well, what's a simile? Well, if I remember correctly from high school English, a simile is a comparison using the word like or as, right? I see some people nodding, so I think I did okay in high school. Here's what the text says. All people are like grass. Their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. And so the question is, how are people like grass? How are people like flowers of the field? They both wither and fade. They're temporary. They don't last forever. Have you ever planted a garden and you get the soil ready and you water and you water and you water and you weed a little bit and you water and you water, but eventually the blooms are going to fade. They're going to die and fall off. And in the August heat, the grass is going to turn brown and die. People ultimately will die. We will not be in our earthly shell forever. Our faithfulness will wither, much like the faithfulness of the people of Israel withered. And their faithfulness withered, they went into exile. But in contrast, God's word endures forever. It rises up, it stands, it endures. It is the only thing that will not wither. God's word is good. The point here is clear. Assyria had risen up and had been a threat in the life of Israel. But that threat's currently gone. Babylon rose up, took the people into exile, but that is ending. These nations would soon vanish. Their plans and purposes would not prevail. But the word of God endures forever. See the contrast? Everything else will fail, but not God's word. The word of our God is good. We can count on it. The people, even in exile, could count on the Lord's word as being good. We can count on the Lord's word as being good today. We can't count on the empty well wishes of others. But we can count on God's word being true. And so what words of comfort will you listen to? Seek the words of comfort that only God can give. The third word of comfort is in verses 9 through 11. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift your voice up with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. The third word of comfort is good news. What's the content of that good news? Here is your God. God is present with you. This is huge to a people who've spent the last 70 years in exile and felt like God had abandoned them. That news of God's presence needs to be proclaimed for all to hear. The way that God is described here is twofold. God is described as powerful, as the sovereign God, the God who rules with a mighty arm, Delivering people from exile is no small feat. You ever tried it? People can't do it on their own. God alone is the one who is able to accomplish that work. And God is also described as a shepherd. God tends the flock. God gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. God gently leads the flock. I have a friend who talks about this as the two arms of God. The strong right arm that rules with sovereignty, protecting, defending, and delivering. And the tender left arm to feed, care for, and tend for the vulnerable, the weak, and the innocent. And with both arms, God is able to embrace the people he so dearly loves with power and comfort. The good news is this, that it's the same God who is able to deliver the people from exile and carry them in his arms. It is the same God whom we worship. It's the same God who is able to meet us with power and tenderness. God is able to show up and be present for us, even when we feel abandoned and alone. God is able to work in power to deliver us from the places and situations in which we find ourselves powerless. God is able to care for us even when we cannot care for ourselves. And God is able to speak words of comfort that are not empty, but are full of power and grace. Seek the comfort that only God can give. As you spend time waiting in this season of Advent, what words of comfort will you hear? What words of comfort will you trust? Do you have ears to hear God's words of comfort? God came and delivered the people of Israel from a land of slavery in Egypt. God came and delivered Israel from Babylon, where they lived for 70 years in exile. God came in the person of Jesus Christ and is able to deliver us from our sin. God's word is good. God is powerful and caring, and yet we wait. We wait. We wait. How will you wait? Will you wait in God's powerful embrace, knowing God's power and God's tenderness at the same time? May we be people who seek the comfort that only God can give. May it be so. Amen.